You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the Punt Podcast ahead of a Premier League weekend. 10 games about to be analysed by our expert pundits, Derek McGovern and Tom Kerwin, joining myself, Dave Kellner, to preview all 10 games on this Friday morning. First of all, a warm welcome to you, Derek McGovern. How are you doing, sir?
Yes, very well, Dave. Nice to have you back from your little break skiing, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah, what did you call me off air, Derek? Not to be repeated on this podcast,
definitely not. Definitely not.
It's good to be back.
You're one of those fellas who's one of those guys who was so so well off. You use the word winter as a verb, don't you? I wintered in Austria.
I wish, Derek. I wish. I'm going to take more time off in the future, though, because after 10 consecutive losing naps, which is an achievement in itself, I think, chaps. Back-to-back winning naps for my stand-in. Who recorded the podcast those 2 weeks? And I think Alex Dunn did it 1 week. And was it Sam Norris the other?
No, Alex did both.
Alex did both.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank
Mark
you. Thank you to Alex Dunn for picking 2 winning naps for me, because he's rescuing what had been a dismal, dismal spell. Derek, you know all about dismal spells on this podcast.
Yes, I'm heading for the record, aren't I, of losing now. My last one, it let the treble down last week, I'm proud to say. But better things ahead this week. I've got a few fancies this week.
How are you, Tom?
I'm very well. Given your record while you've been away, I think I'm currently online now, just booking a trip to somewhere snowy, just so I can get down the slopes and have a couple of winning naps.
Leeds.
Yeah.
Let's get stuck in then, chaps, and we start with the TV games as ever. And Man United versus Bournemouth is first up, Saturday 12:30. Manchester United 1-4 to win the match. The draw 5-1. Bournemouth in the betting at 12-1. Enhanced odds: Paul Pogba to score and Manchester United to win was 13-8. That's been enhanced to 2-1. And Jack Wilshere to score and Bournemouth to win was 33-1. That's been enhanced to 40-1. Manchester United unbeaten in their last 16 league matches now since losing to Chelsea back in October. That's the longest unbeaten run in the Premier League this season. They come into this having triumphed in the EFL Cup final against Southampton with that highly overrated man, Tom, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, scoring a couple of times in that game. He's scored 26 times for Manchester United now in all competitions this season. No other player, by the way, for United has made it into double figures yet. And in the press, Tom, following that win in the EFL Cup, he's been talked about, and they've been saying, is he going to extend for another season? He's got to, hasn't he?
Well, he does, but I think, you know, him and his agent are pretty sharp, aren't they? They'll want a couple of years, and I think they'll probably think they've earned it. I was just seeing a stat this morning, actually, 50% of Manchester United's goals he's been involved in either scoring, you know, or assisting. So his influence is unbelievable, and he'll be licking his lips at the prospect of this game. It was interesting, I was reading the comments from Roy Keane this week, and he's never shy of coming forward, is he? But he talked about this Manchester United winning run, and he basically said they haven't played anybody. They've not played anybody of note. I know he's not the biggest fan of Mourinho, but there is an argument for that. There is an argument you can still look at Manchester United, even though it's a long run, and you can say, actually, some of the games they've slipped up, some of the matches at home in particular, against lesser teams like Bournemouth, and they've cruised through the European games. You know, they were not great against Southampton, but you know, they had a match winner on their team and they managed to lift the trophy. So, look, confidence is high at Old Trafford, there's no question. And he's a character, Ibrahimovic. He is somebody who kind of takes away a little bit of the stress or the pressure of playing for that club, and he kind of takes a bit of it on his shoulders, whether you like him or not. But look, forget Manchester United, I've got to look at Bournemouth in this equation, and they're a team that are dropping like a stone. The only thing that might save Bournemouth this season is the fact that they could be, it's the oldest cliche when you're talking about relegation fight, is the fact that there are 3 teams worse than them, but they've got to book their ideas up. And the problem for Bournemouth is they've got this tricky looking trip to kick things off on Saturday, and they could find themselves by the close of play, you know, on Saturday evening in a far worse position. Look, they're winless in 7 games. They've lost 7 of the last 10. And away from home, they've lost 7 of 8. They've conceded 3 or more goals in 6 of those. So there's no question where Bournemouth's problems have been. And that's why they've been pretty profitable for us on the podcast over the last sort of 5-6 weeks, because we've seen Bournemouth defensively are absolutely shocking. Manchester United have got their tails up. I don't think Bournemouth have any chance whatsoever. The only thing I would look at, and looking at Manchester United's performance last week, and looking at Bournemouth's ability to score away from home, even though they do concede plenty, is Manchester United and both teams to score. I still don't think that Manchester United defence is watertight. Chris Smalling looked like he never kicked a football last week, and that's not for the first time I've seen that. And Bournemouth still have that kind of, it's not carefree, but they do have an attacking-minded team, and I don't think they're going to change, which that's why they've suffered so badly away from home. So I think Manchester United will win the game, obviously, but I'm going to just enhance the price a little bit by backing Bournemouth to get a goal here. So Manchester United, both teams to score, is my play.
That's 2-1 in the betting here with William Hill. That brings in one of the other enhanced odds offers as well, as Zlatan Ibrahimovic to score and Manchester United to win 2-0, 2-1 or 3-1. That was 5-1. That's been enhanced to 11-2. They've got an exceptional record, Derek, against Bournemouth at Old Trafford as well. They've beaten them every single time they've played them at home, scoring 15 and conceding only once in the process. I know earlier on in the season, Derek, you were talking about Manchester United positively, surprisingly as well. And in the last few months, you've cooled slightly towards United.
Well, only because I thought they had a real chance of putting together a title surge, because I had doubts about the teams below Chelsea and between United, and I thought United were getting ahead of steam, and they have really, but they've still dropped points in matches at home that they shouldn't have done. That's been their Achilles heel drawing. I mean, I've been the biggest critic of Ibrahimovic, but he has been sensational for them over the last few weeks. You ask whether he's going to get an extension. Well, he always gets an extension when he wants one. Usually it's on his hooter, though. Jesus Christ. That man hoovers up termites in his spare time. He has been great. And I'll tell you what, one thing, yeah, Tom hinted at there, because he's been so sensational, it's taken the heat off the other players. And in particular, one player that's escaped the flak that should be heaped on him right now is Marcus Rashford. I've watched him recently over the last few weeks, and he's been awful. And I've never seen a supposed striker waste so many chances. I tell you what, if I was facing the firing squad, my last request would be to have him pulling the trigger, because this supposed superstar, he's odds on to score against Bournemouth. Sorry, I can't have that. It's an awful price. Ibrahimovic is long odds on, of course, and he probably will score. You know, you try and make a case in this match for Bournemouth at 12-1, and you can't. Their form is woeful. They're being beaten by poor sides recently. Being hammered by poor sides, to be honest. And Man United, they're anything but poor at the moment. Last weekend at Wembley against Southampton, they underperformed, and yet they still found a way to win. And that's what good teams do. They find a way to win when they're not playing their best. And they'll win this. It's just a question of how far. You know, they're only, if you want to back them up to get on a minus one goal handicap, it ain't the greatest price. It's still long odds on. But minus two goals is 17-10, and that looks a great bet to me.
Manchester United minus two at 17-10 for Derek. Tom going with Manchester United to win and both teams to score in the game. The tea time kickoff on Saturday is Liverpool versus Arsenal at Anfield, 23-20. At Liverpool to win the game. The draw 12-5, Arsenal 13-5. Enhanced odds, Sadio Mane to score and Liverpool to win was 14-5, now 7-2. And Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win was 11-2. That's been enhanced to 7-1. What's going on with Liverpool, Derek? How do you explain the loss of form?
Well, that game against Leicester, you know, that came after Jurgen Klopp had taken them for a warm weather break, for a good few days. They had 2 weeks off. And the way they performed, I'm wondering where he took them. Guantanamo Bay, was it? Jesus Christ, they were absolutely appalling. To say they were second best is an insult to the word second. They were incapable of stringing three passes together. That's an insult to the word Everton. I mean, I just can't believe how bad they've been. They had one good game against Tottenham, and maybe you could argue that was Tottenham's ineptitude that made Liverpool look great. I read a horrifying fact this week. Brendan Rodgers had a better record than Jurgen Klopp after 55 Premier League games in charge of Liverpool. Now, that really is horrifying. Because remember, Rodgers is best remembered for that toe-curling stunt when he held up three envelopes to his players. Remember that one, and told them that they contained the names of stars who would let them down that season? Well, I can now reveal that one of them read Emma Stone, La La Land. I can't back Liverpool with counterfeit money in this one. I really can't, because they've been awful. Apart from that game against Tottenham, they've been awful for a long time now. No, I'm not saying Arsenal are world beaters, but Liverpool at these prices, it's a joke. They will be a joke. Anybody who backs that, well, I'm sorry, you forfeit the right to be called punters. I'm going to have to back Arsenal. I have to, because Liverpool right now are there for to take, and they've got a clown of a goalkeeper, whichever goalkeeper they choose. The back four is a joke. The forwards aren't firing, and they've got one or two midfielders who perhaps have gone over the top for the season. They look a team that are there to be hammered. And you know what? It wouldn't be the biggest surprise in the world of Arsenal to win this comfortably on Saturday.
13-5 Arsenal to win the game. If you are more adventurous and you're looking at Arsenal minus on the handicap, Arsenal minus one is available at 6-1. There's been a lot of talk, Tom, this season about Arsenal being in turmoil and Arsene Wenger needing to leave. But they've picked up 13 points from their Premier League games in 2017, the calendar year so far. Liverpool have only picked up six. And Jurgen Klopp now coming in for criticism. He's had basically a stay of execution, hasn't he, because of his personality. But the press are starting to bite now.
Yeah, and there's reason for it. Can I just firstly applaud Derek for getting a topical Oscars reference into the year? I was wondering how it was going to be crowbarred in.
Oh, yeah, it did. That was the word, crow. It was crow. Shoehorned or crowbarred, yes, my two favourite verbs.
I think there's a lot of criticism that can be levelled at Jurgen Klopp, and rightly so. You know, he's the one who was talking about fixture congestion and the pressures of that, and then they've had such a long break out of that game on Monday. And it was so poor. I agree with Derek. And all of a sudden now, when you're not getting results, you know, every little hole, every little thing is going to be picked up from his point of view. I kind of look at this week, and there's a lot of build-up to this match, and it shares a lot in common with a certain boxing fight that's going on in London. You know, you've got a team from Merseyside, a team from London, you know, meeting in this so-called heavyweight clash, but ultimately it's not going to mean anything for either winner. It doesn't matter. I mean, you're talking about a team, one of them might scrape into the top four, but neither of them are contenders. Both of them are a long, long way off. The only thing Liverpool are clinging to, and I've seen this repeated a number of times this week, is in this so-called top six mini-league, which sadly accounts for nothing come the end of the season, but they are top and Arsenal are bottom. So whatever you think about Liverpool, they do have something in these kind of matches against their fellow contenders where they turn up, whether the way they're set up is something that other teams can't deal with, I don't know. But that is what Jurgen Klopp is going to have to cling to. And that's what makes it more galling, I think, for Liverpool supporters, is how bad they've been against so-called poorer sides in comparison to how good they've been against the top sides. That almost rubs salt into the wound. I think if you're going to be sort of mediocre throughout against any opponent, then you can't accept it, but it's easier to swallow. So, look, I'm not sure about either side in this one. I still don't think all is right at Arsenal. They've obviously had a long break and a couple of weeks off for this one. I'm playing goals in it. Traditionally, this fixture has a lot of goals, and I don't see the way the two teams are set up that anything's going to change that. I mean, six of the last seven meetings between the two sides, we've seen at least three goals. We've seen both teams scoring in six of those games as well. There's been 28 goals in the last six games. I think this fixture kind of shares a record as well for how many goals have been scored after the 90th minute. So I think there's 16 of them. That's more than any other fixture in the Premier League. So I just see it being open. And in my mind, when I think of games between these two sides at Anfield, I think of Arshavin getting four goals. I just think of big and crazy scoreline. So I can't trust either side here. And when I can't trust either side, I try and play how I think the game's going to sort of pan out from a goal point of view. And I think there's going to be plenty. So over 3.5 goals, 7-4 would be my pick here.
Over 4.5 available at 9-2 as well. Liverpool versus Arsenal is the 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. Let's take a look at Sunday's televised games. And we'll start at White Hart Lane. Tottenham versus Everton is at 1:30. Tottenham are 4-6. To win this match. The draw 14-5 with Everton in the betting at 9-2. Enhanced odds, Dele Alli to score and Tottenham to win was 7-4, now 2-1. And Ross Barkley to score and Everton to win was 19-2. That's been enhanced to 14-1. If Spurs were to win this game, they would set a new home Premier League record for consecutive wins at White Hart Lane. That would be 9. However, Everton haven't lost any of their last 9 Premier League games either. That's their best run in the league since going 10 without defeat back in December 2013. And both these managers, Tom, I think have possibly exceeded expectation. And when Luis Enrique steps down at the end of the season at Barcelona, both Mauricio Pochettino and Ronald Koeman could be in the shake-up for that big job. 8-1 and 14-1 respectively. Koeman's 8-1. 14-1 Pochettino here with William Hill to get the Barca job. Interesting game, this. Two teams in good form.
Yeah, two teams in good form. And you mentioned the Barcelona job. I mean, as soon as that becomes available, Pochettino and Koeman's agent are kind of rubbing their hands together. I mean, I think Koeman's always, you know, set about his managerial career with the target of ending up back at the Nou Camp. But he could end up there very quickly. But, you know, listening to some pundits and ex-players in this country this week, when that news broke, it was almost like there are no other managers outside of these shores that could possibly get the Barcelona job. And it's between these two. And Pochettino claiming that because he'd been at Espanyol, he's an Espanyol lad, that, you know, he couldn't go there. Well, I think we'll wait and see whether the offer comes his way. If it does, you'd be a very brave man to turn down Barcelona. But look, Tottenham are in form. Tottenham's home form is incredible. They're setting themselves up, aren't they, for when they eventually move, albeit 100 yards in a different direction, that they're all going to have these kind of problems of continuing what they've been doing at White Hart Lane. But they have been pretty relentless. It's their away form, of course, that's kind of cost them a chance of being closer to Chelsea. But Tottenham are a short price against a better Everton side, an improving Everton team. But when you look a little bit closer at Everton's recent results, you look at the standard of opposition they've played, and you look at what's happened when Everton have come up against teams in the top six, it makes me think that Tottenham are definitely the play here. They're unbeaten in the last five away games, Everton, but they've played Leicester, Hull, Palace, Stoke and Middlesbrough. They've only won two of those games. Everton, for me, have zero chance of winning this game. They could get a result and the draw might come into your thinking at 14-5. And they do, of course, you know, it's a matchup between two strikers that are, of course, in incredible form this season. So you might want to look at, you know, Kane and Lukaku to be both getting on the score sheet. But for me, I just think Tottenham are going to be too strong for them. And Tottenham have kind of swept teams apart. You know, they swept Stoke to one side. And I put Everton in, you know, maybe slightly better than Stoke. I put them pretty much in the same bracket. And that's how I kind of judge this one. But again, I don't think it will be a 4-0. I think Everton are made of probably tougher stuff. And I probably like the look of it, of Tottenham here to win by a goal at 13-5. But I think you're a brave punter to look beyond Tottenham in this game, even though they are up against Everton. I think Tottenham at home they're almost untouchable at the moment.
If you want Harry Kane and Romelu Lukaku both to score, by the way, at any time, that's 4-1. It's under the scorers tab on the William Hill website. These two are two of the three leading scorers in the Premier League this season, got 17 alongside Alexis Sanchez. And in 2017, Kane has been spectacular. He's scored 12 times in 11 appearances for Spurs and has already got three hat-tricks for the club this year as well. Derek, your views on Tottenham versus Everton?
Well, I was just looking at the league table and I had to rub my eyes in disbelief that Tottenham in 13 home games this season have conceded only 5 goals. That's quite incredible, isn't it? Everton have kept 4 clean sheets away from home in their last 6 matches. 4 clean sheets in their last 6 matches. So they're not giving anything away either. I think this is a definite low score. We finished 0-0 last season and I wouldn't be 100% surprised to see that happening again. What worries me about Tottenham is, yeah, that Stoke performance was great. They won really well at Fulham as well. But you look at some of the other recent performances and results, they ain't being that clever, have they? That performance against Liverpool was shocking. And the two Europa League games against Ghent were poor too. I actually don't think they're firing on all cylinders, whereas Everton probably are. 9-2 Everton almost makes some appeal to me. But what worries me is that I've just got a feeling Ronald Koeman will go there and try to shut up shop. And I don't think Tottenham are great at breaking teams down who go there and try to defend. 0-0, I wouldn't put anybody off 0-0 here. But what I'll play safe and go for evens. In both teams to score, no is even money. And I'll go for that.
The 0-0 draw available at 11-1. Sunderland versus
big price. 11-1 for that.
Sunderland versus Manchester City at 4 p.m. on Sunday. Sunderland 10-1, draw 9-2. Man City 100-30 on. Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win was 12-1. Now 16-1, and Kevin De Bruyne to score and Man City to win was 7-4. That's been enhanced to 2-1. Rock bottom Sunderland against a City side, Derek, that have found a little bit of fluency recently. They might have Radamel Falcao to thank for that, because his penalty miss, that kind of acted as a catalyst for what was to follow. And they've scored 10 goals now in their last couple of games. Admittedly, one against a weakened Huddersfield side and against Monaco in the Champions League. Pep Guardiola, though, still suffered 5 defeats this season as Manchester City boss. He's never lost 6 in a single campaign as a manager in the league. Man City, as you would expect here, Derek, long odds on.
Yeah, they have to be, don't they? I mean, what you mentioned those successive games scoring five, and then you look at Sunderland in their last six games. This is how many they've scored: 0-0-0-4 against Palace. How bad are they? 0-0. And they ain't going to score against City. They finished 0-1 last season. And whatever scoreline it is this Saturday, it will begin Sunderland 0. Just a question of how many City score. Strangely, though, Sunderland have had, until the last couple of seasons, had a good record against City.
Yeah.
But they won four successive matches at their ground, 1-0. That was only going back like three or four seasons ago as well. But the way they're playing at the moment, they've been getting floored by mediocre sides. And City right now are looking like the City we expected them to be, full of goals. I mean, they do, you know, they are ropey at the back, but Sunderland aren't good enough to take advantage of that. So I'm going to go for City, basically, in a nutshell. City to win to nil. They don't often, but they will this time.
23-20, Manchester City to win to nil. One man that's got a good record against City in his career is Jermaine Defoe. He's scored 8 Premier League goals against Manchester City. Only scored more versus Wigan in his career. 2-1 it is for Jermaine Defoe to score any time. Do you see this, Tom, as a convincing Manchester City win?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I watched them in midweek. I mean, okay, they were playing against a team from the division below in Huddersfield, but you could still see enough in that City performance for me to suggest that things are starting to click. It's nowhere near where Pep Guardiola wants it to be. You know, and he is still a couple of transfer windows away. But you know, is there much difference between a team sat rock bottom of the Premier League and a team that's probably the form team or certainly one of the best teams in the Championship? I'm not so sure. And I know it's up at Sunderland, and it has been a ground where traditionally there's been, you know, they've struggled a little bit, Man City. But I think there's no chance of them struggling in this game. And I think it's difficult, really, to look past Sergio Aguero here. You know, when he's in this kind of run, you know, he's got 19 goals this season in 29 appearances. He's unbelievable considering the suspension that he had, considering he hasn't started many games. You know, and I still don't think long-term he's the man for Pep Guardiola. But while he's on form, I think he's going to take advantage of a Sunderland defence that is absolutely awful. 9-4 for Sergio Aguero, 2 or more. That's my selection. I think Man City will be scoring at the very least 3 goals. And I agree with Derek. I cannot see someone scoring, so the -2 comes into play there at 17-10.
Monday night football next, West Ham versus Chelsea. The Hammers 5-1 to win the match. The draw 3-1 and Chelsea 8-13. Enhanced odds, Robert Snodgrass to score and West Ham to win was 9-1, now 12-1. And Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win was 19-10. That's been enhanced to 9-4. Tom, I think one of the biggest factors here is that Mikel Antonio is suspended. He's been influential for the Hammers all season, and it could be a real issue replacing him. Strong, physical and versatile footballer, Mikel Antonio, and they're playing Chelsea as well, which is another issue here. 10 points clear at the top of the Premier League. They've only lost 2 of their last 21 Premier League games against West Ham United as well. West Ham 5-1 to win this game, with Chelsea odds on to get another win, 8-13.
Yeah, and you know, Chelsea in the last game against Swansea, I mean, you know, we'll talk about Swansea in a bit, but Swansea have been improving dramatically, and you know, they gave Chelsea a real scare, but this is the sign of a team that is going to win the league. They never really got too worried or bothered. You know, they conceded right before half time, and you're thinking, if that happens to an Arsenal or it happens to a Liverpool, there's big problems. With Chelsea, it just never felt that way. They've got so much ammunition now. They're so confident. We say it every single week, but they're absolutely relentless, and they'll have no problems in this game. Against the West Ham side, I'm trying to work out West Ham's kind of their mindset now going in for the rest of the season, because they've effectively, well, they have done enough to pull themselves away from any kind of danger whatsoever. They're certainly not going to trouble probably West Brom above them and the likes of Everton, and they're definitely not going to challenge the top six. So there is a concern for Slaven Bilic. So they're one of the teams, along with Stoke, that will start to coast between now and the end of the campaign. And I think this is kind of a match that, you know, the West Ham fans will be expecting something, but I just think the London Stadium, it is a bigger pitch, it is a bigger arena, and whatever you think about, whether you think the venue makes no difference or whatever, it's the kind of game that I think good visiting teams have loved going. And Man City went there and destroyed them a couple of times. And I think Chelsea, you know, are more than capable of doing the same thing. But he will keep the handbrake on Conte. He will not, you know, I don't think we'll ever see a Chelsea side, you know, go somewhere like West Ham and sort of win 3, 4 and 5. I think traditionally as well, when I watch this fixture over the years, It's been quite an intense kind of game. I think it will be the same. And I think West Ham do have the tails up a little bit, considering where they've been this season. And Chelsea at 8-13, you know, it's a fair price, I think, if you put in an acca. But I'm going to go for Chelsea and both teams to score at 5-2. They just showed against Swansea that little bit of vulnerability. There is a little bit of concern for them on set pieces. I know Conte will have been working on that because he won't want to give anything away between now and the season. But I like the price of 5-2 for Chelsea and both teams to score because, you know, I give West Ham a sniff of causing them problems. I do.
Chelsea and both teams to score 5-2 for Tom. I keep hoping and praying that this Chelsea team are going to slip up, Derek, because there's nothing worse than going into the final 5 or 6 weeks of the season in the Premier League and it being done and dusted. And that's going to be the case this season, isn't it?
No, I don't think it will be.
Really?
They're going to win the league. I mean, they're too far ahead now with too little time for any of the teams below them to catch up. And they will deserve to win it because they have been the best team. But they're not that far the best. I think the league table does lie. They are not a 10-point better team than anybody else, Chelsea. They are due a slip-up. They've had a kind run of fixtures, to be honest. And I remember the last two away games in the league, by the way. At Liverpool, they were poor. At Burnley, they weren't great. Both finished 1-1. I can't back them at 8-3. They're being priced up like an Arsenal in the irresistible season or Man United in their pomp. They're not that good, Chelsea, yet. They're a very, very fine side and will win the league. But they ain't that good. And I found most interesting of the last weekend of the Premier League matches, the quotes from Slaven Bilic after they'd drawn at Watford. He said, yeah, we've got a big game coming up against Chelsea. It's a blow that we've lost Michael Antonio, but we're a proper team now. And they are. They're playing like a proper team. All those early season, you know, tribulations they had, moving to the new stadium, etc. They seem to be in the past. And yeah, what Tom said is a valid point. Good teams like going to West Ham now. They didn't like going to Upton Park, but they like going to the London Stadium because it gives them a chance to express themselves. But I'm not sure. Chelsea are definitely a good team. But I'm not sure Chelsea are in the same bracket as Man City, who will love the wide open spaces. I'm not sure that's the case here. I think Chelsea have got a job on here. And I'm licking my lips at West Ham here, 5-1. I've been unkind to them many times this season. But in recent weeks, they look as though they're getting their act together. And they have got some good players there. 5-1 is too big because I think Chelsea are still beatable.
West Ham the pick, 5-1 for Derek. Let's spin through the non-televised matches. Saturday, 3 p.m. kickoffs, and we'll start at the Hawthorns. West Brom versus Crystal Palace. West Brom 6-5. The draw 21-10. Crystal Palace 14-5. Enhanced odds, Salomon Rondon to score and West Brom to win was 13-5, now 3-1. And Christian Benteke to score and Palace to win was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 6-1. Tony Pulis versus Sam Allardyce here at the Hawthorns. I was thinking, Derek, I can't remember Pulis leaving Crystal Palace. Managed 26 Premier League games for Palace between 2013 and 2014. Actually won 11 of 26, which was an incredible record at Palace. I had to look at what happened, and he had that bust up with Steve Parrish before leaving. Yeah. I can't remember him being there.
Yeah, there was a lot of ill feeling after he left, wasn't there? You know, didn't he say he was staying or something, and the next day walked out, and there was some bad feeling. I can't remember exactly what it was. But yeah, Allardyce against Pulis, it's not for the purest, is it? In fact, he banned low-flying aircraft around the West Midlands area because we know what's going to happen. Actually, it's a bit unfair to West Brom that because they played with abandon this season, yeah. Unbelievably, for the Tony Pulis side. And, you know, I look at this picture, and I know how bad Palace are. I'm not getting fooled by their win against Middlesbrough last week because Middlesbrough can lose to anybody. But they're a poor side, Palace, right now. I don't think Allardyce has got anything right since he's gone there. And West Brom should not be odds against here. You know, I look at a picture further down the list. Swansea are home to Burnley and Swansea are odds on. And yet West Brom are odds against to beat Palace. It doesn't make sense that in my eyes. West Brom will win this and I think they're a great bet at these odds.
West Brom 6-5, the selection for Derek. I keep mentioning Salomon Rondon, Tom. It's been a hell of a long time since he scored a goal. He's gone 11 without scoring now, Salomon Rondon. This is the week he gets on the score sheet, I think. And another man worth looking at, Gareth McAulay's having an incredible season. 6 goals he's scored for West Brom this season. 11-2 he is to score any time here, Tom.
Well, it's probably time to get on Rondon, isn't it? He scores like 2 or 3 goals every 14 games or something. But he's continually there because he is still a big threat for West Brom. But a West Brom side that are playing really well, I can't disagree with what Derek's saying. I think West Brom are cracking value here. You know, especially when you look at their recent sort of home results, Hull, Sunderland, Stoke and Bournemouth. you know, mixture of scorelines there, but they've pretty much been disposed of without major worries. I mean, it's not like you're looking at any of those games and there were dramatic last-minute scrambled winners, and, you know, maybe the Stoke one was maybe the luckiest one, but they're getting the job done at home. And you've got to really fear for Crystal Palace, because you're looking at their games that are coming up. They've got Chelsea, Southampton, Liverpool, City, and Manchester United all you know, coming up in the next few weeks away from home. So they're in real trouble, because they ain't going to pick up many points away from home, you know, throughout that run of fixtures. And just West Brom are too strong. I mean, you know, when I'm looking at this one, I can't see anything other than the West Brom win, and I think the price is decent enough at 6-5. But I think if they get on top early and they can get an early goal, particularly set pieces, I mean, that's where, in theory, Palace should have improved under Sam Allardyce, but they haven't necessarily. And people like Gareth McCauley, you know, and they still are a set-piece side, Tony Pearce. They're still a team that will score a fair proportion of goals from those situations. So I think if they get an early goal, West Brom, don't see much in that Palace side that, you know, still that suggests they've kind of got the strength to sort of come back from that. So I think minus a goal is decent at 16-5, but I think the best bet is pure and simple West Brom to win.
On to Leicester City versus Hull. Leicester City odds on 17-20 to win the game. The draw 12-5. Hull are 19-5. Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win was 21-10. That's been enhanced here with William Hill to 5-2. And Kamil Grzycki to score and Hull to win was 9-1. That's been boosted to 12-1. On Monday night, Tom, Leicester City beat Liverpool 3-1 after the dismissal of Claudio Ranieri. We saw them hammer City in mid-December 4-2, and we thought at the time, this is it. They'll go on a run now. I suppose there's two ways to look at this, Tom. Either those players haven't been trying a leg under Claudio Ranieri, have got him sacked and are now going to start performing every week, or they've taken advantage of a team that play in a way that suits them, the same way they did against Manchester City earlier in the season. What do you think here? Have we got a Leicester City side who are now going to make a big leap up the table or not?
I don't know if it'll be a big leap, but they'll pull themselves away. There's no question. I mean, look, Liverpool helped them on Monday night, but much like Man City did in that game earlier this season. I mean, when I watched that game, it was all down to Man City for me, and Leicester couldn't help but take advantage of it. The problem is now the modern professional, particularly the Premier League footballer, has nowhere really to hide, because the stats are pretty damning on Leicester, and that's just in terms of running. You know, I mean, every player on Monday night covered more distance than they had for God knows how long under Claudio Ranieri. So, you know, all of it's going to be forgotten. It'll all be forgotten by the Leicester fans if they keep on winning games, and they've got a great opportunity against this improving Hull side. And we keep saying it every week, and I know that they've beaten Liverpool, but ultimately Hull are still going to be in all kinds of trouble here. And I don't know what their game plan is against Leicester, because they'll have watched the game on Monday night and thought, do we go back to now? Are we going to play? Are we now playing Leicester City champions of last season? And do we have to try and sit in and frustrate them and hit them on the counter-attack? Or are we playing the Leicester City of the most of this season, where actually if you get at them and you know, you're organised, you can cause problems, because defensively they're awful. And I think it's going to be more of the same from Leicester, I really do, because it's in them. The problem is, we've seen it. You know, and I'm looking at it as a punter and I'm going, I've watched Leicester all those games last year where they were so consistent. They were devastating in almost every match, deserved to win the league. And we saw that again on Monday night. Now, whether it is just a one game reaction or whatever, you know, if I'm looking at putting some money down on this, I've got to think that it's not. I've got to think that now the Leicester players are in a happier place because Ranieri's gone. Whatever you think about that, doesn't really matter when we're looking at the prices. 17-20, it's tricky because, of course, Hull City, you know, as I said, they have been getting results. They've been getting results against better sides that have been in form. But the problem is for me, and I know this can be dangerous sometimes, but Monday night's performance is kind of echoing around in my head, and Vardy's in particular. Again, he looked like a man reborn. And I like Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win here at 5-2. I'd love to sit here and make a strong case that, yeah, it was a one-off and everything else, but I can't see it. I think the shackles are off. Ranieri's gone, and Leicester are going to go on a run.
We've seen a heck of a lot of comment pieces about Claudio Ranieri and Leicester in the last 10 days or so, Derek. Do you think the players have been a disgrace here? How do you view it?
A bit of both. I think the players haven't tried it hard enough for him, but they wanted him out, didn't they? Because they didn't, you know, even last season, there have been whispers coming out that even last season, they didn't have much that much input in the way they were playing. They just got a bit of momentum behind them, and it took them as far as it did. this season. He's tinkered too much. He's tried basically believe his own publicity and tried to do what he thinks a Premier League winning manager should do, and tinkered far too much. The players weren't happy. It's a very effective but simple style Leicester played last season. This time around, they've tried everything and it's all failed. I think the players do deserve stick for underperforming for him. But I suppose if I was in their shoes, they want to get rid of the manager, obviously. And that was the only way they thought to do it. So, whatever you think about that tactic, it definitely worked for them. I can't back them on odds against, because I got my fingers burned on them in the weeks after that Manchester City game that Tom mentioned earlier. I thought, yeah, Leicester are back now. This is the proper Leicester. I'll back them from now on. And they've been useless. They were useless since then. That was a one-off. And it makes you wonder whether it was a one-off because of the way City set up against them, just as the way Liverpool set up against them on Monday. I hate agreeing with the TV pundits, Jamie Carragher's and the Gary Neville's, because, I like to form my own opinions. But what they said was right. Liverpool played right into their hands. It was obvious to everybody. And I'm not. Hull definitely won't play like that. That is an absolute certainty. They've been getting some good results. They played better sides than Leicester in recent weeks and got something out of it. And I'm going to go for Hull with a goal start here at just under even money.
It's not just those pundits you hate agreeing with, is it, Derek? You don't discriminate.
I hate agreeing with everybody. I'm a very disagreeable chap.
You do not discriminate ever. Leicester versus Hull. Hull plus one for Derek. 19-5 Hull are to win the game. If you're looking at Hull, plus one goal, that's available at 17-20. Watford versus Southampton next, and Watford are 5-2 to win this game. The draw 21-10 with Southampton 13-10. Enhanced odds, Troy Deeney to score and Watford to win was 5-1, now 7-1. And Manolo Gabbiadini to score and Southampton to win was 5-2, now 3-1. I've given up predicting how Southampton are going to perform, Derek. Played with more spark since Gabbiadini arrived. Beat Sunderland 4-0 and then deserve more in the EFL Cup final. But you look at this, 31 and 30 points respectively in the Premier League this season. And rarely has a game meant less than this one, Derek.
Yeah, it's that. You know what, I looked at this fixture and I looked at the way Southampton played at Wembley last week and I thought, God, I've got to be on Southampton here. And then I looked at the prices and yet again, I can't touch Southampton because the price up is warm favourites here. Away from home at Watford and they're below Watford in the league table.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. I can't back Southampton because of the odds, even though they look, for most of Wembley last week, sensational. Watford, well, I mean, the fact that they're 12th, all these people that keep saying that the Premier League is the best league in the world, I mean, and Watford are 12th in it. Have they forgotten the human league? That was surely the best league. I've got to go for Watford here on price alone. I mean, I don't like Watford. I've seen probably three of the worst five performances I've seen from any Premier League teams this season have come from Watford. And yet, when I'm not watching, they keep winning. That Arsenal result, it's just ridiculous. Winning 2-1 at Arsenal, it come from nowhere, that. And they followed up with a win against Burnley. Drew with West Ham last week when, I thought West Ham would do a number on them. They must have something. I can't see it. I can't see what they've got, but they must have something. And the two big at home here against the Southampton side, that, in my eyes, will just be coasting between now and the end of the season.
Watford the pick for Derek at 5-2. Tom, your thoughts?
Yeah, Watford are a tough side now. They're a tougher side to beat than they have been. And I was a bit surprised how well they've done at home. Not in terms of winning matches, but they've only lost two of the last 11 home games in the league. They've only lost one of the last six. The game that they'd lost at Old Trafford was one where it was kind of a free game for them, given the results that they'd had before. And I think Southampton are too short again. I mean, forget last week. That's a cup final. That's something that you can, I think, take out of the equation when you're looking at a team that have had two wins and six defeats in the Premier League. But what both these sides have a great knack of doing is scoring goals. Southampton's early season form was built on their defence. But now you're looking at Watford are backfiring, and there's goals coming from all angles. And Gabbiadini looks an absolute steal, doesn't he? When you see some of the money that's been thrown around at strikers, he looks an absolute snip, a real sort of fox in a box, and a player I think is going to score a lot of goals for Southampton. And I think he'll fancy his chances against a Watford side that concede. Southampton have scored in seven of their last 12 away matches. And you look at Watford's home form, they very rarely don't score. It's no surprise that one team they haven't scored against recently was Middlesbrough. But they also concede a lot at home. So this is a both teams to score match for me all day long. And you know, I think there could be a few goals in the game as well. It's kind of interesting. It's always, you know, it's 19 to 20 both teams score. I think it's a great price, especially when I'm unsure about which Southampton team's going to turn up and which Watford team's going to come. The only thing I do know is that there are, you know, two teams going forward that are pretty happy, but defensively show a lot of weakness as well.
Okay, on to Stoke versus Middlesbrough next. Penultimate game we're going to look at on the podcast. And Stoke are slight odds on at 19-20. The draw 23-10 with Middlesbrough 7-2. Enhanced odds, Marko Arnautovic to score and Stoke to win was 13-5, now 3-1. And Alvaro Negredo to score and Middlesbrough to win was 6-1, now 8-1. And Middlesbrough, Tom, have just won once away from the Riverside since August. They're the league's lowest scorers, and Aitor Karanka's now coming under pressure. I thought they might survive months, 6 weeks ago, Tom, because they were so stout defensively, but I'm not sure now.
No, I mean, you know, your defence is going to take you sort of some way, but you've still got to score more goals than Middlesbrough are doing. I think the problem, as we talked about before, from the Middlesbrough supporters is how he's setting up in games at home. I think away from home, I think any Middlesbrough fan, any team, you know, fan of a team down there will take points away from home. I don't care where you go in the Premier League, they'll probably take a point. But it's at home where they've really had problems. And that's catching up with them now because they've gone on such a long run. I mean, you know, away from home, he's actually looking, you know, although it be only one victory away from home, you know, six draws and just six defeats. I mean, they've lost less games away from home than the bottom half, than anybody in the bottom half of the table. So it kind of stands up to a point. But this is the kind of game, again, where Middlesbrough will go. And you know exactly how they're going to settle because they're up against the Stoke side here, who, for me, I think they're quite easy to sort of put into a bracket of where they're at. People might look at their form and say they've won 3 of 7. But they've played Manchester United, Tottenham, Everton. But they've beaten the teams that are down there, Sunderland, Swansea, Burnley, Watford, Palace. They don't really have a problem against those kind of teams. And that's why I think Stoke are becoming quite, and dare I say it ahead of this, but they're becoming a side that I think are quite easy to pigeonhole. And that's a good thing, of course, when we're looking at it from a betting perspective. So, you know, Middlesbrough will be resilient. They will be tough. And I know they've got results at tougher places than Stoke. But I think generally there's a little bit of, how would I describe it? Maybe tetchiness creeping into the Middlesbrough squad at the moment because they will see themselves sliding. They'll see, you know, Swansea are flying now. And I think they'll be a little bit concerned. And I think some nerves will creep in. And I don't think Middlesbrough have kind of dealt with that at any point this season. So look, I think Stoke will win the game. I think 19 to 20 is perfectly acceptable price because against this Middlesbrough side, I won't be backing any team to win by a huge margin. So I'm just going to take Stoke on the outright.
Stoke to win 19 to 20. They were, Derek, embarrassed in that first half against Tottenham at White Hart Lane. But this is much more manageable.
Yeah, they do win games like this, but they're odds on. What Tom says is right. They are easy, probably one of the more easier teams to read in the Premier League, Stoke. But then again, the flip side of that is they're easy to read for the odds compilers too, and they've got a grip of them here, odds on. I can't touch them for that. They're not good enough to be backing their odds on at the moment, even against Middlesbrough. The reason I say that is that Middlesbrough, I know how they're going to set up. They're going to keep things really, really tight, and a 0-0 wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. I can't go for Middlesbrough at 7. I went for them last week at 3-1 to win at Palace, and they should have won that. They should have won that game. And the fact that they lost means I can't touch them here to go to Stoke and win. I'm going to go unders on the goal. I think under 1.5 goals at 7-4 looks home and hosed.
Very good. Under 1.5 goals, Stoke versus Middlesbrough. And we finish the podcast with Swansea versus Burnley. Even money, Swansea to win the game. The draw 12-5, Burnley in the betting at 3-1. Enhanced odds, Fernando Llorente to score and Swansea to win was 11-5, now 5-2. And Andre Gray to score and Burnley to win was 11-2, now 7-1. Swansea have actually won all three of their previous Premier League meetings with Burnley 1-0. And we know Burnley, Derek, we've talked about it on the podcast continuously throughout the course of the season, are pretty dismal away from home. They've picked up just two of their 31 points away from home. And if you extend that for all their travails in the Premier League or through all their travails in the Premier League, they've got the lowest points per game ratio in away matches in the history of the competition. They've picked up just 20 points from 50 Premier League away games. These odds look perfectly set to me, Derek. Do you disagree?
Well, I mentioned earlier in the podcast that Swansea were odds on, and that's because they were on my coupon, but there are even money on it on here now. No, I don't agree. I don't think Swansea should be so short. I mean, I know what you say about Burnley's away record is right. Everybody knows that. They've only got 2 points this season away from. But, you know, one of them came last week. So, you know, that there's a point more than it had in from their previous, 10 away games. There's a crumb of comfort there. They went to Chelsea. Sorry, they played at home to Chelsea recently, drew 1-1. I mean, Burnley are a tidy side. Now, Swansea have improved massively under the new manager. But they're still Swansea. They're not brilliant. I don't think they deserve to be back to these kind of odds to beat Burnley. When I'm at a loss to read a fixture, I always fall back on one of my tried and tested rules. A team away from home in the Premier League, a 3-1 or more, at a ground team that aren't one of the top six. Fits the bill perfectly here. Therefore, I have to go for Burnley.
I'm not sure, Derek, if you call that a crumb of comfort. I want you at my bedside when I'm on my deathbed, Derek, because I mean, 2 points from 31 and one came last week. I don't want you giving me my pep talk.
Yeah, I was clutching at straws a little there, wasn't I?
Burnley 3-1 to win the game for Derek. Tom, you've been talking about Swansea. Well, you mentioned them a couple of times on this podcast. Mm. Even money, I guess you like them?
Yeah, I like them because I can, you know, you're looking at other teams that have changed their managers and you're thinking, has anybody had the effect that Paul Clements had? No, because they've pulled themselves up the table. And it's a defining sort of few weeks for Swansea because they host Burnley, they go to Hull, they go to Bournemouth, and then they host Middlesbrough. So the next four matches, conceivably, I think Paul Clement will say, we can win three of them. They've won three of the last five games already. They did put in a good display, you know, against Chelsea. And I think Swansea at home, and particularly the way Paul Clements just simply got them organised at the back. And the one thing I think about Burnley is, and I know they got the point last week, but that was at Hull City, and I know they've been doing well, so you'd probably say it's not a bad point, but I still think that Lincoln defeat is going to hamper them. I really do. I think their season is effectively over now, Burnley, and I think Swansea will know that the next few games are going to decide whether they're going to be in a battle at the end of the season come those last few weeks, or they're not. The one thing Swansea do at home is they can score, but they also concede. Likewise, Burnley, talk about their away form not being great in terms of picking up points. They have scored in each of their last five home games. So I think Swansea win this, but I never see Swansea winning 1-0 or 2-0. I see them winning 3-1, 3-2 or 2-1. So Swansea 16-5 for them and both teams to score.
Swansea 16-5 match result and both teams to score for Tom. Naps then, chaps. Tom, do you want to kick us off this week?
I will say, I do think there's three or four teams at home this weekend that look very good. The likes of West Brom, I like Swansea, I like Stoke, I even like Watford against Southampton, but I'm going to go for a goal scorer. I haven't gone for one in a while, so I'm going to go for Sergio Aguero, 2 or more against Sunderland. I think he's firing now.
Sergio Aguero to score 2 or more in that match against Sunderland in the betting at 9-4. Derek, your nap.
Arsenal 13-5 to win at Liverpool.
Arsenal 13-5 to go to Anfield and win. And I'm going with an odds-on shot here, 19-20 Stoke City to beat Middlesbrough this weekend in that clash at 3 p.m. Sergio Aguero 9-4 to score 2 or more against Sunderland. Arsenal at 13-5 to win at Liverpool, and Stoke to beat Middlesbrough at home 19-20. 21.81-1 that treble this weekend. I've given up saying I've got a good feeling about the punt treble as well, chaps, now. I've given up. We've got that far into the season now. That's it for me. All optimism has been quelled. Derek, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned into the podcast for this weekend's Premier League action. And if you're having a bet, the very best of luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill. Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with 4 or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now.